Welcome back, everybody, to Structured Insights, the podcast that you get the insights that you need. Back again is Mr. Bill Tracy, and I'm Nick, your guest host for the day. So, Bill, welcome.
It's great to be here, Nick.
Today, I'm super excited. I always like these discussions with you, but today we're gonna get vertical, not Top Gun, but we're gonna get vertical and we're gonna get sassy. So, two things that are gonna be fun, especially around the holidays, but. One of the things that's in the news a lot lately is obviously it is sassy and the technology, but I want to really get into specifics of three industries. And I think this is important because a lot of times when we talk technology, it's very generalized and it's not necessarily applicable. So in this conversation, we're going to talk about finance, healthcare, and retail. So let's start really with finance because everybody likes money. So let's talk a little bit about from your experience and what you do at Structured, what are you guys seeing in the financial vertical when it comes to regulatory requirements and just network requirements of that vertical?
No, I think, what's interesting about the finance industry is kind of they hit really every checkbox, as it were, around the needs around SASE and SSE. When we think of, when you think of just kind of laying the groundwork around what SASE and SSE is, it's really zero trust network access, cloud-based security controls, SD-WAN, and kind of the ability to secure my users wherever they are. So when I think about finance, highly distributed, I'm highly regulated, and I have users working, from many locations at any given time. And so the
people that always want to get unauthorized access.
And certainly, yes, a target rich environment, as it were. And so when I think about all of the problems it solves, that SSE solves, that's where finance is an ideal use case. I need to be able to secure my branches and provide highly resilient connectivity to them. I need to allow my users and employees access back into that network securely, whether they're working from home, at the headquarters, or at a branch. And I need to make sure that I have kind of a ubiquitous, unified security policy across all of those users and locations, regardless of how people are coming in or out of the network. And SASE really helps solve all those challenges.
When you think about finance, I mean, obviously it is a very, very regulated industry and a lot of compliance issues. What's one of the things if they're the IT person, the CIO, the director of IT, they're trying to get a better feel for how SASE would integrate into their plans. What's the first thing they should be doing or thinking about?
It's probably the most challenging piece of kind of this technology sector, because the reality is this SASE and SSE really consists and is made up of a number of different solutions coming together to provide that connectivity and that security and that inspection across the enterprise. So as I kind of mentioned earlier, we have those core foundational pieces of what makes up SSE, and it really starts with kind of reviewing and understanding what pieces you have today and where your gaps are, so you can start to formulate a strategy or a plan on how you want to get to kind of a fully connected, secured, SASE environment. Many organizations have pieces or parts of this deployed from one or many different solutions in their environment. So you have to take a little bit of stock, take a little bit of inventory in what you have on the floor, and then really start to understand where you're trying to go and where the opportunities to improve efficiency and optimize are. And, one big trend that we're seeing in this space is kind of the trying to consolidate the security and connectivity stack that makes up SSE. And that's why you've seen so much acquisition of various products in this space and kind of the partner community that's out there. Folks like Palo Alto Networks have done a great job of acquiring the right pieces and parts to deliver this as a holistic platform-based solution to solve this problem, because folks don't want three or four different point solutions to solve this.
As things get more and more complex, right, you want simplicity, you don't want complexity.
Well, and this is, and I'd add there's a third piece to that, which is managing the user experience. I need to deliver all of this security and connectivity, but I can't do it at the sake of the user experience for my users. And that's always been the challenge in cybersecurity is managing user experience with security. And what we really like about SASE is it's helping deliver on both of those in a way that the users appreciate the experience, but also provides a tremendous amount of security to the enterprise.
Yeah, let's go down that path a little bit, especially in the finance sector. I mean, obviously there is a decentralization of the workforce within finance. I mean, if you any article you read lately is, I mean, they're just pushing more and more remote workers.
Happy.
How does maybe let's just talk about a use case. Like, how does the remote workforce, how does this play into that and supporting that need for most financial institutions going into the new year?
I think it's really interesting in finance specifically because if you look at, coming out of, COVID, coupled with the modernization of banking applications, it's really transformed how the finance sector is working. And that's without, that's even thinking about the traditional, bank credit union sector, let alone all the other areas of finance that were emerging in the online and the fintech environment. But the ability to work from home and the decentralization of applications is really key to what's enabled this, but is also creating the security challenge they're trying to solve. Most of our finance customers we're talking to now have a pretty significant mix of on-prem and SaaS or IaaS-based applications. And if we think back even 5, 7 years ago, it really wasn't that way. Their application mix was 95% largely on-prem, and we started to see a slow shift. And that's rapidly evolved with kind of the fintech movement. So there might still be a core banking application that's critical, but we're seeing, some institutions having less of a branch footprint or less of an in-branch personnel input as people move to online and is enabling people to work from anywhere. And so when I think about kind of that modern world, you see maybe where you have some of the critical folks that used to be, every branch maybe had one. Now they maybe have one senior loan officer that's shared across multiple branches and works in a hybrid environment and also has the ability to work from home because their tools that they're using are often could be SaaS based or infrastructure as a service based out in the cloud. So the key there is I need to make sure that, finance officer A is always securely connected to the enterprise. And that doesn't just mean connecting them back to the data center anymore. It means connecting them back to the data center and to the cloud. And I need to make sure that the same security policies, advanced inspections, malware prevention, et cetera, are being applied to that user, whether they're working out of a branch, working from a Starbucks, or working from home.
We talk about simplicity, but we add complexity, right? It's a lot to deal with for in this world. So good insights on the finance. Let's continue to get vertical and let's move on to the healthcare. Let's try to get a little healthy. So like finance, healthcare sector obviously has regulations, like they have other a lot of patient data requirements. How, I guess, the people within that healthcare space, what do you see happening? And are there some use cases specifically that SASE would play into? And I guess also look at it from the perspective of managed getting help or doing the DIY, doing it on your own.
Yeah, I think, when I think about finance, there's some, or when I, sorry, when I think about healthcare, there are definitely some similarities to finance, right? Again, thinking back 5, 10 years, a lot of on-prem applications, very, walled garden approach, private connections between locations. It was maybe a three hospital network that connected to each other, connected back to a data center. That's completely flipped on its head. These healthcare organizations are growing to support different types of clinical organizations, smaller branches,
Research.
urgent care facilities, research. So you look at their footprint has changed drastically. It's not just the hospital anymore. It's the five hospitals. Then there's the 30, regional clinical facilities. Then I've got my 100 urgent care facilities. And then, oh, I have, maybe pop-up healthcare shops in some other retailer or whatever that looks like. And so they again need to have really, really good connectivity that's really reliable and really redundant, but also very secure because of the nature of their business. But the challenge they're saying that may be slightly different than finance and kind of the hub and spoke branch environment is the different types of businesses they need to support. You know, in some of those environments, they're actually sitting behind or writing within another organization's network in that kind of pop-up environment. A clinical organization or a clinical office has a very different need, as does an urgent care, than a hospital. But the connectivity and security requirements don't change. And the way we used to solve that was typically with different technology solutions of varying sizes and types to meet all of those different needs. So now I have 1x kind of security and edge product in this organization, but that product doesn't really fit well for the real small micro branch, and I need something very different in my data center. So when I think of the kind of scale that cloud-based security brings to the organization with SASE, that's what allows me to deliver a unified, simplified security experience. I now no longer care whether it's a one-person pop-up clinic or a 500-person hospital or 1,000-person hospital. I'm applying the same cloud-based security policy with really redundant, robust connectivity between those locations to meet their needs.
So let's talk, I mean, so security obviously is key in healthcare. And you mentioned, you know, the various different use cases. But if today, like, I mean, we wouldn't want a doctor working an IT system and we won't want an IT person working on a patient. You know, but the, both of them require a good user experience. I'm just wondering, how does, you know, because there is so much change within healthcare, medical records, you even have the applications of, you know, remote telemedicine, how does somebody, how do they think about new applications that maybe aren't even out yet? And they think about how do they are going to support these new things that maybe they have new partnerships, they have new applications. How should they be thinking about that connected to having this type of network architecture?
I think that this you're drawing the value perfectly there, because this architecture allows for rapid scale in a highly mobile hybrid environment. Mergers and acquisitions, right? The M&A world continues to remain really strong in the healthcare environment. We're seeing it every day around us. And by abstracting that layer of security from kind of the edge of the office building as it once was, and move that up a layer up into the cloud, allows me to rapidly bring in any type of new use case, new organization, et cetera, simply by deploying an edge, you know, SD-WAN appliance and building a tunnel up to the cloud. I can now provide this 10 branch clinical entity that I just acquired. I can give them all the same security and all the same connectivity in record pace compared to what we used to be able to do 5 years ago or 10 years ago, to make sure that this new entity is onboarded and connected to my systems at the level of security that my auditors and regulators require out of me, with significantly less effort than it used to take to do so.
Sounds like we maybe need to do some education with PE firms and government people at the level of how much SASE can help you when you're doing your M&A work.
Absolutely. It's one of the strongest use cases we've seen so far.
That's super interesting. Yeah. And I think, I mean, from obviously it's going to continue to be consolidation just in all industries. So, all right, well, let's keep getting SASE and move on to the next vertical and talk about retail. So obviously very timely in the holiday season, and obviously retail is complex and ever-changing, both from an application perspective and a transaction load perspective. So how does SASE play into that type of a unique environment?
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit of a mix of both situations that we've been talking about when I really think about it. So I would say that in retail, the connectivity piece tends to be a little bit more of the lead in or the more important aspect. You know, retailers have
it's all about POS, right?
it's all about POS, right? We have to, you know, brick and mortar is very much alive. The customer experience is very much alive, but these organizations are highly distributed, lots of sites, and traditional ways of delivering secure connectivity could be relatively expensive. So by utilizing commodity internet solutions like Starlink, et cetera, I can deliver a lot of bandwidth and a lot of redundancy, but then how do I manage all of those connections and easily, and how do I build tunnels securely across that? So often our retail environments really start as more kind of the SD-WAN connectivity side of SASE, but security is certainly not an afterthought, right? Retailers are another extremely target-rich environment, and they've done a lot of things. You know, many of them are outsourcing their POS to help reduce their POS, their PCI scope and et cetera, but they are still, you know, highly vulnerable targets. Usually these are really recognizable, you know, name brands nationally, globally, you know, regionally, as it were, across each different retailer. So they're extremely sensitive about security. And so we start with a connectivity discussion, but it turns very quickly into the security side of it. And when you think about the kind of mobility of a retailer, of a food service, you know, I think about all the quick serve restaurant chains that are popping up and seem to be adding 30, 50, 100 stores a year in some cases. They need to be able to spin up a location really quickly. And as we all know in IT, we're always the last ones to find out about the new site that's opening until management comes and says, oh yeah, we bought five buildings and the build out's almost done. We need to get the technology stack up and running. I need a way to quickly provision and secure and bring those sites online, and also scale down as needs change, as a market or demographic changes, or as a building sold out from under me and I need to break that store down. I need to be able to be really agile. And so again, by kind of abstracting that security layer, by giving me a tremendous amount of flexibility of what I deliver from a carrier solution standpoint to that endpoint, but still be able to manage it effectively and provide a simple level of security and tunnel management to those sites, that's what those organizations are looking for. And that's what something like SASE brings to the table.
Well, in a rip from the headline moment, Starbucks is in the news today about having to get your caffeine fixed, but having to write, you know, manually write out things because of a cyber attack. So I think your point is spot on, that that the risk is real.
No, the risk is very real. That's why I think when I think about all three of these sectors, right, they have one thing in common, well, maybe two things. Usually they're highly distributed or fairly distributed, but they all have regulatory and security compliance needs. And again, when I think back to all the different ways I can achieve SASE, consolidation is a huge key. And somebody like what Palo Alto Networks is doing with their SASE solutions is interesting, because they are not only attacking it from the cloud security and from the connectivity side, but has been known as a longtime enterprise firewall manufacturer. And I think it's important to note that typically, you know, SASE is not replacing your enterprise firewalls, but it's changing how my branches and my mobile users connect in most cases. But when I can now consolidate my entire security stack into, you know, one data lake with centralized visibility across that, whether it be, you know, enterprise grade data center firewalls, my cloud security connectivity for my mobile users and my branches, and then that connectivity down to the edge point and or the branch connectivity down to the endpoint, there's some unique value props when you're consolidating on one central security provider with tremendous visibility across that entire stack of solutions, even outside of the SASE conversation we're having.
Is there a convergence between IoT though and SASE? So the IoT is obviously crosses over retail. You mentioned that the other two verticals about applications, obviously IoT devices are becoming more and more prevalent. How does that play into the SASE architecture?
There's still a lot to be determined. And I think part of that's because the IoT world is changing so rapidly. there's many IoT environments we still that are very, very air gapped, but there's a big push to provide connectivity. And I think that, so while I think there's a lot of opportunities for how we can better secure and get IoT networks online, there's a really, really great use case that SASE brings to the table, which is the zero trust network access. Think cloud-based VPN. This allows me to provide simple access to people like third-party contractors. Think of my, you know, PLC or equipment. I need to provide access back into somebody to monitor or manage, but I don't want to give them access into my network, tunnel them across, and get them to that environment. By using ZTNA, I can provide simple, scalable access to those folks only to the specific applications or resources within that environment that I need to. So I think that's the immediate use case that we're seeing in IoT around SASE is that zero trust network access where I'm saying I'm not allowing anything in unless I'm explicitly allowing it. And I can go down to the user and the application level. And again, furthermore, because of the nature of the cloud-based VPN technology that ZTNA brings, it also allows me to roll that up to untrusted and unknown machines and third-party contractors much more easily, but much more securely than I ever have.
Sounds like a good option to consider. So like we've talked about in past discussions, what's the difference though, again, the DIY approach versus the managed services approach, right? I mean, why is there's a lot of components and as you said, SASE isn't just one thing. So, you know, if someone's trying to do it themselves in one of these verticals versus trying to talk to a managed service provider, what's the pros and cons? Well, I may be a little biased, but still.
Well, when I speak and think about this, you know, generally the big thing that comes to mind is, you know, many organizations have been buying, for example, their carrier circuits from one carrier in many cases and able to deliver that. And then many of them have started offering different types of maybe connectivity or security on the wire solutions. Why did they make that choice? Because they wanted that connectivity and security just to be like plumbing. They want it to be always on. It always needs to work. They don't want to have to think about it. And they want predictability in the billing. We're seeing the same trend around kind of SASE, not only as it relates to the SD-WAN piece, but the rest of that stack. One, people are looking for managed providers to make the complexity much more simple. Because even with the most standardized, platformized vendors, there's still a lot of complexity and nuances. This is a transformational shift in how we're securing and connecting our branches over the way we've done this for 20 years. So it is complex, and many people don't want to deal with the day-to-day operations administration. Second, the network, the WAN, should be like plumbing. It's just an expected service. It's no different than our internet service at home. Enterprises have the same expectations with even higher SLAs and requirements around their connectivity. And that's what a managed provider can bring, is to abstract all of the day-to-day monitoring, the administration, the care and feeding, the tuning, and the complexity of this environment, and deliver connectivity and security like just like it's your plumbing or your power or whatever is being delivered as any other service or utility. That's what folks are really seem to be looking for in this space. And the combination of the tools and services with the right partner to deliver those can deliver a SASE solution like plumbing and help really take away a lot of the complexity and mystery behind it.
I think that's good advice. I like the analogy. I mean, I don't want to be getting shocked trying to mess with electric, and I don't like want to deal with other things dealing with plumbing. So yeah, I think your points are very valid, well taken. Thanks again for talking about it. Obviously, we got into some good verticals and insights into SASE. Thank you again for sharing today. Again, for more podcasts, you can go to the Structured LinkedIn page and follow Bill in these conversations. Thank you again, Bill, for the time.
Thanks for getting sassy with me, Nick.
And I also want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Palo Alto Networks.